Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Finance Committee meets the fourth Monday of every month at 4:30 p.m.
Thank Patrick Bucard. Another great show.
It's a disaster.
What? Calm down. Come on, get off the cliff.
It's a disaster.
Oh boy, Talking Earth.
I needed to
Talking
talk,
Earth.
I needed to say it's a disaster. Wartime.
The Talking Earth. Thanks. We'll see you next month. Stay tuned for Gremlin Time.
Portland. Stay tuned at midnight for the Tiki Cha-Cha Club. But right now, it's the bedtime radio show for grown-ups.
Gremlin Time.
You are entering a zone of sound and energy.
They all
a landscape of frequency. A vocabulary of modulation. There is the signpost up ahead. Please adjust your chronometers.
one time, Mrs. Fortunato. Tonight, we're going to take a trip back to the Great White Way, Broadway, courtesy of writer Alfred Damon Runyon, who was told in around 1911 that only Protestants had three names, and so he shortened it to just Damon Runyon. Damon Runyon originally was born in Kansas and had bummed around the West quite a bit, eventually serving in the Philippines during the Spanish-American War, though spending most of his time in the red light district of Manila. Eventually made his way back to Denver, Colorado, where he worked as a sports writer and also caroused around playing dice, meeting dames, betting on horses until he realized that drinking too much was not good for his health. And so curiously, he decided to move east where he got a job at the New York American, where he covered the Giants at the Polo Grounds, and also Ebbets Field, Madison Square Garden, and the racetrack at Saratoga. Now, besides the racetracks of the sporting world, he would also go to the nightclubs and betting parlors and other hangouts, and he met very many of the people who are written about in his stories are sort of slightly disguised versions of real people, and many of these events actually happened. And they liked the way that he would write about them. These works were published in the newspapers. They liked him to hang out with them because they knew he would be discreet and would change things around into a good story. And in his writing, you'll notice that he will refer to things in the past in the present tense. They always seem to be set in the Roaring Twenties, which for those of you who don't know, we had what was known as the Volstead Act, which was passed around 1919. This was known as Prohibition, and so all alcoholic beverages were banned throughout the country. And you know, it was a good idea. It was to keep people who made very little money from spending it all on liquor. For the first few months or year or so, it seemed to work, but eventually, as human nature being what it is, people started sneaking liquor down from Canada or up from Cuba, and well, you can read all about it in a number of history books. And now, our story this evening is read to us by our own Naples Yellow, Romance in the Roaring Forties by Damon Runyon.
Only a rank sucker will think of taking two peeks at Dave the Dude's doll, because while Dave may stand for the first peek, figuring it is a mistake, it is a sure thing he will get sawed up at the second peek, and Dave the Dude is certainly not a man to have sawed up at you.
Hello, Billy.
But this Waldo Winchester is 100% sucker.
You were really hoofing tonight.
Which is why he takes quite a number of peeks at Dave's doll. And what is more, she takes quite a number of peeks right back at him. And there you are. When a guy and a doll get to taking peeks back and forth at each other, why, there you are indeed. This Waldo Winchester is a nice-looking young guy who writes pieces about Broadway for the Morning Item. He writes about the goings-on in nightclubs, such as fights, and one thing and another, and also about who is running around with who, including guys and dolls. Sometimes, this is very embarrassing to people who may be married and are running around with people who are not married. But of course, Waldo Winchester cannot be expected to ask one and all for their marriage certificates before he writes his pieces for the paper. The chances are, if Waldo Winchester knows Miss Billy Perry is Dave the Dude's doll, he will never take more than his first peek at her, but nobody tips him off until his second or third peek, and by this time, Miss Billy Perry is taking her peeks back at him, and Waldo Winchester is hooked. In fact, he is plumb gone, and being a sucker, like I tell you, he does not care whose doll she is. Poisonally, I do not blame him much, for Miss Billy Perry is worth a few peeks, especially when she is out on the floor of Miss Missouri Martin's 1600 Club doing her tap dance.
Come and meet those dancing feet on the avenue I'm taking you to, 42nd Street. Here's the beat of dancing feet. It's the song I love, the melody of 42nd Street.
Still, I do not think the best tap dancer that ever lives can make me take two peeks at her if I know she is Dave the Dude's doll. For Dave somehow thinks more than somewhat of his dolls. He especially thinks plenty of Miss Billy Perry and sends her fur coats. and diamond rings, and one thing and another, which she sends back to him at once because it seems she does not take presents from guys.
I don't accept jewels from hoodlums.
This is considered most surprising all along Broadway, but people figure the chances are she has some other angle.
Get out of here.
Anyway, this does not keep Dave the Dude from liking her just the same. And so she is considered his doll by one and all, and is respected accordingly until this Waldo Winchester comes along. It happens that he comes along while Dave the Dude is off in the Modoc on a little run down to the Bahamas to get some goods for his business, such as scotch and champagne. And by the time Dave gets back, Miss Billy Perry and Waldo Winchester are at the stage where they sit in corners between her numbers and hold hands. Of course, nobody tells Dave the Dude about this, because they do not wish to get him excited. Not even Miss Missouri Martin tells him.
I'm not saying nothing.
Which is most unusual, because Miss Missouri Martin, who is sometimes called Mizu for short, tells everything she knows as soon as she knows it, which is very often before it happens.
My lips are sealed.
You see, the idea is when Dave the Dude is excited, he may blow somebody's brains out, and the chances are it will be nobody's brains but Waldo Winchester's. Although some claim that Waldo Winchester has no brains, or he will not be hanging around Dave the Dude's doll.
When you see a guy reach for stars in the sky, you can bet that he's doing it for some doll. When you spot a John waiting out in the rain, chances are he's insane. There's only a John can be for a Jane. When you meet a gent paying all kinds of rent for a flat that could flatten a Taj Mahal, call it sad, call it funny, but it's better than even money that the guy's only doing it for some doll, some doll, some doll. The guy's only doing it for some doll.
I know Dave is very, very fond of Miss Billy Perry because I hear him talk to her several times, and he is most polite to her and never gets out of line in a company by using cuss words or anything like this. Furthermore, one night when One-Eyed Sally Abrahams is a little stewed up, he refers to Miss Billy Perry as a broad, meaning no harm whatever, for this is the way many of the boys speak of the dolls. Right away, Dave the Dude reaches across the table and bops One-Eyed Sally right in the mouth. So everybody knows from then on that Dave thinks well of Miss Billy Perry. Of course, Dave is always thinking fairly well of some doll as far as this goes, but it is seldom he gets the bopping guys in the mouth over them. Well, one night what happens, when Dave the Dude walks into the 1600 Club, and there in the entrance, what does he see but this Waldo Winchester and Miss Billy Perry kissing each other back and forth friendly. Right away, Dave reaches for the old equalizer to shoot Waldo Winchester. But it seems Dave does not happen to have the old equalizer with him, not expecting to have to shoot anybody this particular evening. Dave the Dude walks over, and as Waldo Winchester hears him coming,
just a minute, Dave,
and lets go his stranglehold on Miss Billy Perry,
I can explain.
Dave nails him with a big right hand on the chin. I will say for Dave the Dude that he is a fair puncher with his right hand, although his left is not so good, and he knocks Waldo Winchester bow-legged. In fact, Waldo folds right up on the floor. Well, Miss Billy Perry lets out a screech you can hear clear to the Battery and runs over to where Waldo Winchester lights and falls on top of him squalling very loud. All anybody can make out of what she says is that Dave the Dude is a big bum, although Dave is not so big at that, and that she loves Waldo Winchester. Dave walks over and starts to give Waldo Winchester the leather, which is considered customary in such cases. But he seems to change his mind, and instead of booting Waldo around, Dave turns and walks out of the joint looking very black and mad. And the next anybody hears of him, he's over in the Chicken Club doing plenty of drinking. This is regarded as a very bad sign indeed, because while everybody goes to the Chicken Club now and then to give Tony Bartazzola, the owner, a friendly play, very few people care to do any drinking there because Tony's liquor is not meant for anybody to drink except the customers. Well, Miss Billy Perry gets Waldo Winchester on his pegs again and wipes his chin off with her handkerchief. And by, he is all okay except for a big lump on his chin. And all the time, she is telling Waldo Winchester what a big bum Dave the Dude is, although afterwards, Miss Missouri Martin gets hold of Miss Billy Perry and puts the blast on her plenty for chasing a two-handed spender such as Dave the Dude out of the joint. You were nothing but a little sap, Miss Missouri Martin tells Miss Billy Perry. You cannot get the right time off of this newspaper guy. Well, everybody knows Dave the Dude is a very fast man with a dollar. But I love Mr. Winchester, says Miss Billy Perry. He's so romantic. He's not a bootlegger and a gunman like Dave the Dude. He puts lovely pieces in the paper about me. And he's a gentleman at all times. Now, of course, Miss Missouri Martin is not in a position to argue about gentlemen because she meets very few in the 1600 Club, and anyway, she does not wish to make Waldo Winchester mad, as he is apt to turn around and put pieces in his paper that will be a knock to the joint. So she lets the matter drop.
Talk to me, baby. Tell me what's the matter now.
Miss Billy Perry and Waldo Winchester go on holding hands between their numbers and maybe kissing each other now and then, as young people are liable to do. And Dave the Dude plays the chill for the 1600 Club, and everything seems to be all right. Naturally, we are all very glad there is no more trouble over the proposition, because the best Dave can get is the worst of it in a jam with a newspaper guy. Personally, I figure Dave will soon find himself another doll and forget all about Miss Billy Perry, because now that I take another peek at her, I can see where she is just about the same as any other tap dancer, except that she is redheaded. Tap dancers are generally blackheads, but I do not know why. Moosh, the doorman at the 1600 Club, tells me Miss Missouri Martin keeps plugging for Dave the Dude with Miss Billy Perry in a quiet way, because he says he hears Miss Missouri Martin make the following crack one night to her. Well, I do not see any Simple Simon on your leaning linger. This is Miss Missouri Martin's way of saying she sees no diamond on Miss Billy Perry's finger. For Miss Missouri Martin is an old, experienced doll who figures if a guy loves a doll, he will prove it with diamonds. Miss Missouri Martin has many diamonds herself, though how any guy can ever get himself heated up enough about Miss Missouri Martin to give her diamonds is more than I can see.
Gee, but it's tough to be broke, kid. It's not a joke, kid. It's a curse. My luck is changing, it's gotten from simply rotten to something worse. Who knows, someday I will win too. I'll begin to reach my prime. Now though I see what our end is, all I can spend is just my time. I can't give you anything but love. I And that's the only thing I've plenty of. Baby, dream a while, scheme a while, and we're sure to find happiness. And I guess all those things we've always pined for. Gee, I'd like to see you looking swell. Baby, diamond bracelets, Woolworth doesn't sell. Baby, till that lucky day, you know darn well. Baby, I can't give you anything but love. I can't give you anything but love. Baby, that's the only thing I've plenty of. Baby, dream a while, scheme a while, babe. You should have found a little bit of happiness. And I guess all those things that you know I'm fighting for. Gee, I'd like to see you looking swab, well, well, well. Baby, know diamond bracelets, Woolworth doesn't sell. Baby, but oh, till that lucky day, you know darn well. Baby, no, I can't give you anything but this, this, this.
I'm not a guy who goes around much, so I did not see Dave the Dude for a couple of weeks. But late one Sunday afternoon, little Johnny McGowan, who is one of Dave's men, comes and says to me like this. What do you think? Dave grabs this scribe a little while ago and is taking him out for an airing. Oh, Johnny is so excited it is sometime before I can get him cooled out enough to explain. It seems that Dave the Dude gets his biggest car out of the garage and sends his driver, Wop Joe, over to the item office where Waldo Winchester works, with a message that Miss Billy Perry wishes to see Waldo right away at Miss Missouri Martin's apartment on 59th Street. Of course, this message is nothing but the phone is balonus, but Waldo drops in for it and gets in the car. Wop Joe drives him up to Miss Missouri Martin's apartment, and who gets in the car there but Dave the Dude?
Afternoon, Waldo. Let's go for a ride.
I got something special in mind for you.
And away they go.
You are listening tonight to Romance in the Roaring Forties, a short story by Damon Runyon. We had Ethel Waters, we had Billie Holiday, we had an excerpt from the Broadway musical Guys and Dolls, based on a Damon Runyon story. We'll be back after this.
The young fall, the old fall, the red hot mamas and the cold fall. From the lily white till the black as night, they all fall in love. The fools fall, the wise fall, the wets, the sprinkled, and the dries fall. From the men who drink to the men who wink, they all fall in love.
You may believe you're broker, very mediocre, playing with your stocks and bonds. A business he may blunder, yet he's a perfect wonder when he plays with blondes.
Old maids who object fall, old men you never would suspect fall. Even babies who can hardly crawl fall, 'cause they all fall in love. The wags fall,
fall, the poops fall, the gold brick sellers and the roofs fall, from the underbred to the overfed. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da, the good very oft fall, the hard-boiled Hermans and the soft fall, just to prove they bleed in the fall of year. They da-da-da-da-da.
You may believe your broker is very mediocre, playing with your stocks and bonds. At business he may blunder, yet he's a perfect wonder when he plays with blondes.
The angels on high fall, and men who never slip at all fall. Even boxers much too pure to fall for, 'cause they all fall in love.
That you're listening to KBOO Portland. And now back to Gremlin Time with Naples Yellow.
We're going to get back to our story by Damon Runyon. You know, a lot of his short stories became a lot of movies, Little Miss Marker and The Lemon Drop Kid and Lady for a Day, Pocket Full of Miracles, those sort of things. And, of course, a couple of his stories were worked into for the very great Broadway play, Guys and Dolls. So we'll play a piece from that and we'll get back to our story, Romance in the Roaring 40s, with Naples Yellow, story by Damon Runyon about guys and dolls.
What's playing at the Roxy? I'll tell you what's playing at the Roxy. A picture about a Minnesota man so in love with a Mississippi girl that he sacrifices everything and moves all the way to Biloxi. That's what's playing at the Roxy.
What's in the Daily News? I'll tell you what's in the Daily News. Story about a guy who bought his wife a small ruby with what otherwise would have been his union dues. That's what's in the Daily News.
What's happening all over? I'll tell you what's happening all over. Guy sitting at home by a television set who used to be something of a rover. That's what's happening all over. Love is a thing that has licked him, and it looks like Nathan's just another victim. Yes, sir, when you see a guy reach for stars in the sky, you can't bet that he's doing it for some doll.
When you spot a John waiting out in the rain, chances are he's insane. There's only a John can be for a Jane.
When you meet a gent paying all kinds of rent for a flat that could flatten a Taj Mahal. Call it sad, call it funny, but it's better than even money that the guy's only doing it for some dough.
When you see a Joe saving half of his dough, you can bet they'll be minking it for some dough.
When a bum buys wine like a bum can't afford, it's a cinch that the bum is under the thumb of some little broad.
When you meet a mug lately out of the jug, and he's still lifting platinum fal-de-ral,
call it hell, call it heaven, it's a probable 12 to 7 that the guy's only doing it for some doll.
When you see a sport and his cash has run short, you can bet that he's banking it with some doll.
When a guy wears tails with the front gleaming white, who the hell do you think he's tickling pink on Saturday night?
when a lazy slob takes a good steady job and he smells from Vitalis and Barbasol.
Call it dumb, call it clever, oh, but you can give odds forever that the guy's only doing it for some doll, some doll, some doll. The guy's only doing it for some doll.
Now this is very bad news indeed, because when Dave the Dude takes a guy out for an airing, the guy very often does not come back. What happens to him, I never ask, because the best the guy can get by asking questions in this man's town is a bust in the nose. But I am much worried over this proposition, because I like Dave the Dude, and I know that taking a newspaper guy like Waldo Winchester out for an airing is apt to cause talk, especially if he does not come back. The other guys that Dave the Dude takes out for airings do not need much in particular, but here is a guy who may produce trouble, even if he is a sucker, on account of being connected with a newspaper. I know enough about newspapers to know that by and by the editor or somebody will be around wishing to know where Waldo Winchester's pieces about Broadway are, and if there are no pieces from Waldo Winchester, the editor will wish to know why. Finally, we'll get around to where other people will wish to know, and after a while, many people will be running around saying, "Where is Waldo Winchester?" And if enough people in this town get to running around saying, "Where is so-and-so?" it becomes a great mystery, and the newspapers hop on the cops, and the cops hop on everybody, and by, there is so much heat in town that it is no place for a guy. But what is to be done about this situation, I do not know. Personally, it strikes me as very bad indeed. And while Johnny goes away to do a little telephoning, I am trying to think up some place to go where people will see me and remember afterwards that I am there in case it is necessary for them to remember. Finally, Johnny comes back very excited and says,
"Hey, the dude is up at the Woodcock Inn on the Pelham Parkway, and he is sending out the word to one and all to come at once. Good time Charlie Bernstein just gets the wire and tells me, something is doing. The rest of the mob are on their way. So let us be moving."
But here is an invitation which does not strike me as a good thing at all. The way I look at it, Dave the Dude is no company for a guy like me at this time. The chances are he either does something to Waldo Winchester already, or is getting ready to do something to him, which I wish no part of. Personally, I have nothing against newspaper guys, not even the ones who write Broadway. If Dave the Dude wishes to do something to Waldo Winchester, all right, but what is the sense of bringing outsiders into it? But the next thing I know, I am in Johnny McGowan's Roadster, and he is zipping along very fast indeed, paying practically no attention to traffic lights or anything else. As we go busting out the concourse, I get to thinking the situation over, and I figure that Dave the Dude probably keeps thinking about Miss Billy Perry and drinking liquor such as they sell in the Chicken Club until finally he blows his topper. The way I look at it, only a guy who is off his nut will think of taking a newspaper guy out for an airing over a doll, when dolls are a dime a dozen in this man's town. Still, I remember reading in the papers about a lot of different guys who are considered very sensible until they get tangled up with a doll and maybe loving her, and the first thing anybody knows, they hop out of windows, or shoot themselves, or somebody else, and I can see where even a guy like Dave the Dude may go daffy over a doll. I can see that little Johnny McGowan is worried too, but he does not say much. And we pull up in front of the Woodcock Inn in no time whatever to find a lot of other cars ahead of us, some of which I recognize as belonging to different parties. The Woodcock Inn is what is called a roadhouse, and it is run by Big Nig Skulski, a very nice man indeed, and a friend of everybody's. It stands back a piece off the Pelham Parkway and is a very pleasant place to go to, what with Nig having a good band and the floor show with a lot of fair-looking dolls and everything else a man can wish for a good time. He gets a nice play from nice people, although Nig's liquor is nothing extra. Personally, I never go there much because I do not care for roadhouses, but it is a great spot for Dave the Dude when he is pitching parties or even when he is only drinking single-handed. There is a lot of racket in the joint as we drive up, and who should come out to meet us but Dave the Dude himself with a big hello. His face is very red and he seems heated up no little, but he does not look like a guy who is meaning any harm to anybody, especially a newspaper guy.
"Come in, guys," Dave the Dude yells. "Come right in."
The So we go in, and the place is full of people sitting at tables or out on the floor dancing, and I see Miss Missouri Martin with all her diamonds hanging from her in different places, and Good Time Charlie Bernstein, and Feet Samuels, and Tony Bertazzola, and Skeets Bolivar, and Nick the Greek, and Rochester Red, and a lot of other guys and dolls from around and about. In fact, it looks as if everybody from all the joints in Broadway are present, including Miss Billy Perry, who is all dressed up in white and is lugging a big bundle of orchids and so forth, and who is giggling and smiling and shaking hands and going on generally. And finally, I see Waldo Winchester, the scribe, sitting at a ringside table all by himself, but there is nothing wrong with him as far as I can see. He seems to be all in one piece so far. Dave, I say to Dave the Dude, very quiet, what is coming off here? You know a guy cannot be too careful what he does around this town, and I will hate to see you tangled up in anything right now. Why, Dave says, what are you talking about? Nothing is coming off here but a wedding, and it is going to be the best wedding anybody on Broadway ever sees. We are waiting for the preacher now. You mean somebody is going to be married? I ask, being somewhat confused. Certainly, Dave the Dude says. What do you think? What's the idea of a wedding anyway? Who is going to be married? I ask. Nobody but Billy and the scribe, Dave says. This is the greatest thing I ever do in my life. I run into Billy the other night, and she is crying her eyes out because she loves this scribe and wishes to marry him, but it seems the scribe has nothing he can use for money. So I tell Billy to leave it to me because you know I love her myself so much I wish to see her happy at all times, even if she has to marry to be that way. So I frame this wedding party. And after they are married, I am going to stake them to a few G's so they can get a good running start, Dave says. But I do not tell the scribe, and I do not let Billy tell him, as I wish it to be a big surprise to him. I kidnap him this afternoon and bring him out here, and he is scared half to death, thinking I am going to scrag him. In fact, Dave says, I never see a guy so scared. He is still so scared, nothing seems to cheer him up. Go over and tell him to shake himself together because nothing but happiness for him is coming off here. Well, I wish to say I am greatly relieved to think that Dave intends doing nothing worse to Waldo Winchester than getting him married up. So I go over to where Waldo is sitting. He certainly looks somewhat alarmed. He is all in a huddle with himself, and he has what you call a vacant stare in his eyes. I can see that he is indeed frightened. So I give him a jolly slap on the back, and I say, congratulations, pal. Cheer up. The worst is yet to come. You bet it is, Waldo Winchester says, his voice so solemn I am greatly surprised. You are a fine-looking bridegroom, I say. You look as if you were at a funeral instead of a wedding. Why not laugh, ha-ha, and maybe take a dram or two and go to cutting up some? Mister, says Waldo Winchester, my wife is not going to care for me getting married to Miss Billy Perry. Your wife? I say, much astonished. What is this you are speaking of? How can you have any wife except Miss Billy Perry? This is great foolishness. I know, Waldo says, very sad. I know, but I got a wife just the same, and she is going to be very nervous when she hears about this. My wife is very strict with me. My wife does not allow me to go around marrying people. My wife is Lola Sepola of the Rolling Sepolas, the Acrobats, and I am married to her for 5 years. She is the strong lady who juggles the other four people in the act. My wife just gets back from a year's tour of the interstate time, and she is at the Marks Hotel right this minute. I am upset by this proposition. Does Miss Billy Perry know about this wife? I ask. No, he says. No. She thinks I am single-o. But why do you not tell Dave the Dude you are already married when he brings you out here to marry you off to Miss Billy Perry? I ask. It seems to me a newspaper guy must know it is against the law for a guy to marry several dolls, unless he is a tyke or some such. Well, Waldo says, if I tell Dave the Dude I am married after taking his doll away from him, I am quite sure Dave will be very much excited and maybe do something harmful to my health. Now, there is much in what the guy says, to be sure. I am inclined to think myself that Dave will be somewhat disturbed when he hears of this situation, especially when Miss Billy Perry starts in being unhappy about it. But what is to be done, I do not know, except maybe to let the wedding go on, and then when Waldo is out of reach of Dave, to put in a claim that he is insane and that the marriage does not count. It is a sure thing I do not wish to be around when Dave the Dude hears Waldo is already married.
The stars may deceive you, may vanish and leave you. Be smart, only trust your heart. The breeze softly sighing, in truth may be lying. Be smart, only trust your heart. The warmth of her kisses may tease you what bliss is, but this is a faithless lover's heart. Only trust your heart, not the firelight that comes from the starlight. Be smart, only trust your heart.
I like the Italian words better.
Credi al tuo cuore, le dolci parole potranno inasprire così. Credi al tuo cuore, i baci d'amore riscaldano il cuore, ma non credi ai baci d'amore.
Only trust your heart, not the far light that comes from the starlight. Be smart, only trust your.
I'm thinking that maybe I better take it on the lamb out of there when there was a great row at the door, and I hear Dave the Dude yelling that the preacher arrives. He is a very nice-looking preacher at that, though he seems somewhat surprised by the goings-on, especially when Miss Missouri Martin steps up and takes charge of him. Miss Missouri Martin tells me she is fond of preachers and is quite used to them because she is twice married by preachers and twice by justices of the peace and once by a ship's captain at sea. By this time, one and all present, except maybe myself and Waldo Winchester and the preacher and maybe Miss Billy Perry, are somewhat corned. Waldo is still sitting at his table looking very sad and saying yes and no to Miss Billy Perry whenever she skips past him, for Miss Billy Perry is too much pleasured up with happiness to stay long in one spot. Dave the Dude is more corned than anybody else because he has 2 or 3 days running start on everybody. And when Dave the Dude is corned, I wish to say that he is a very unreliable guy as to temper, and he is apt to explode right in your face any minute. But he seems to be getting a great bang out of the doings. Well, by and by, Nick Skolsky has the dance floor cleared, and then he moves out on the floor a sort of arch of very beautiful flowers. The idea seems to be that Miss Billy Perry and Waldo Winchester ought to be married under this arch. I can see Dave the Dude must put in several days planning this whole proposition, and it must cost him plenty of the old do-re-mi, especially as I see him showing Miss Missouri Martin a diamond ring as big as a cough drop.
It is for the bride, Dave Dude says. The poor Lugan she is marrying will never have enough dough to buy her such a rock, and she always wishes a big one. I get it off a guy who brings it in from Los Angeles. I'm going to give the bride away myself in person. So how do I act, Mizzou? I want Billy to have everything according to the book.
Well, while Miss Missouri Martin is trying to remember back to one of her weddings to tell him, I take another peek at Waldo Winchester to see how he is making out. I once see 2 guys go to the old warm squatterville up in Sing Sing, and I wish to say both are laughing heartily compared to Waldo Winchester at this moment. Miss Billy Perry is sitting with him, and the orchestra leader is calling his men 30 names because none of them can think of how Old Promise Me goes, when Dave the Dude yells,
"Well, we are all set. Let the happy couple step forward."
Miss Billy Perry bounces up and grabs Waldo Winchester by the arm and pulls him out of his chair. After a peek at his face, I am willing to lay 6 to 5
He does not make the arch. But he finally gets there with everybody laughing and clapping their hands, and the preacher comes forward, and Dave the Dude looks happier than I ever see him look before in his life as they all get together under the arch of flowers. Well, all of a sudden, there is a terrible racket at the front door of the Woodcock Inn, with some doll doing a lot of hollering in a deep voice that sounds like a man's. And naturally, everybody turns and looks that way. The doorman, a guy by the name of Slugsy Sacks, who is a very hard man indeed, seems to be trying to keep somebody out, but pretty soon there is a heavy bump, and Slugsy Sacks falls down, and in comes a doll about 4 feet high and 5 feet wide. In fact, I never see such a wide doll. She looks all hammered down. Her face is almost as wide as her shoulders and makes me think of a great big full moon. She comes in bounding like, and I can see that she is all churned up about something. As she bounces in, I hear a gurgle, and I look around to see Waldo Winchester slumping down to the floor, almost dragging Miss Billy Perry with him. Well, the wide doll walks right up to the bunch under the arch and says in a large bass voice, "Which one is Dave the Dude?" "I am Dave the Dude," says Dave the Dude, stepping up. "What do you mean by busting in here like a walrus and gumming up our wedding?" "So you are the guy who kidnaps my ever-loving husband to marry him off to this little red-headed pancake here, are you?" the wide doll says, looking at Dave the Dude, but pointing at Miss Billy Perry. Well, now, calling Miss Billy Perry a pancake to Dave the Dude is a very serious proposition, and Dave the Dude gets very angry. He is usually rather polite to dolls, but you can see he does not care for the wide doll's manner whatever. "Say, listen here," Dave the Dude says. "You better take a walk before somebody clips you. You must be drunk," he says. "Or daffy," he says. "What are you talking about anyway?" "You will see what I am talking about," the wide doll yells. "The guy on the floor there is my lawful husband. You probably frightened him to death, the poor dear. You kidnap him to marry this red-headed thing, and I am going to get you arrested as sure as my name is Lola Cipolla, you simple-looking tramp." Naturally, everybody is greatly horrified at a doll using such language to Dave the Dude, because Dave is known to shoot guys for much less. But instead of doing something to the wide doll at once, Dave says, "What is this talk I hear? Who is married to who? Get out of here," Dave says, grabbing the wide doll's arm. Well, she makes out as if she is going to slap Dave in the face with the left hand, and Dave naturally pulls his kisser out of the way. But instead of doing anything with the left, Lola Cipolla suddenly drives her right fist smack dab into Dave the Dude's stomach, which naturally comes forward as his face goes back. I wish to say I see many a body punch delivered in my life, but I never see a prettier one than this. What is more, Lola Cipolla steps in with the punch, so there is plenty on it. Now, a guy who eats and drinks like Dave the Dude does cannot take them so good in the stomach. So Dave goes, oof, and sits down very hard on the dance floor. And as he is sitting there, he is fumbling in his pants pockets for the old equalizer. So everybody around tears for cover except Lola Cipolla and Miss Billy Perry and Waldo Winchester. But before he can get his pistol out, Lola Cipolla reaches down and grabs Dave by the collar and hoists him to his feet. She lets go her hold on him, leaving Dave standing on his pins but teetering around somewhat. And then she drives her right hand at Dave's stomach a second time. The punch drops Dave again, and Lola steps up to him as if she is going to give him the foot. But she only gathers up Waldo Winchester from off the floor and slings him across her shoulder like he is a sack of oats and starts for the door. Dave the Dude sits up on the floor again, and by this time he has the old equalizer in his duke. "Only for me being a gentleman, I will fill you full of slugs," he yells. Lola Cipolla never even looks back, because by this time she is petting Waldo Winchester's head and calling him loving names and saying what a shame it is for bad characters like Dave the Dude to be abusing her precious one. It all sounds to me as if Lola Cipolla thinks well of Waldo Winchester. Well, after she gets out of sight, Dave the Dude gets up off the floor and stands there looking at Miss Billy Perry, who is out to break all crying records. The rest of us come out from undercover, including the preacher, and we are wondering how mad Dave the Dude is going to be about the wedding being ruined. But Dave the Dude only seems disappointed and sad. "Billy," he says to Miss Billy Perry, "I am mighty sorry you did not get your wedding. All I wish is for your happiness, but I did not believe you can ever be happy with this scribe if he also has to have his lion tamer around. As Cupid, I am a total bust. This is the only nice thing I ever tried to do in my whole life, and it is too bad it does not come off." Maybe if you wait until he can drown her or something.
Dave,
says Miss Billy Perry, dropping so many tears that she seems finally to wash herself right into Dave the Dude's arms.
I will never, never be happy with such a guy as Waldo Winchester. I can see now you are the only man for me.
Well, 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 Dave the Dude says, cheering right up. Where is the preacher? Bring on the preacher and let us have our wedding anyway.
I see Mr. and Mrs. Dave the Dude the other day, and they seem very happy.
Well, what was she doing down in Atlantic City without bringing me? I like Atlantic City.
But you can never tell about married people.
Tell you what, why don't I buy you a new pair of shoes?
So, of course, I am never going to let on to Dave the Dude that I am the one who telephones Lola Cipolla at the Marx Hotel, because maybe I did not do Dave any too much of a favor at that.
Call it dumb, call it clever, oh, but you can give odds forever that the guy's only doing it for some doll, some doll, some doll. The guy's only doing it for some doll.
And that's it from the Big Apple. Romance in the Roaring 20s, in the Roaring 40s. By Damon Runyon. I can imagine an old movie. Warren Williams is Dave the Dude. A young Joan Bennett. Or a young Joel McRae as Waldo Winchester. Well, thanks for listening. Let's have another little few romance songs before the Tiki Cha-Cha Club. Another song by Dean Martin.
Flower that blooms so tender, each kiss a dewdrop of sweet surrender. Love is a moment of life enchanting. Let's take that moment that tonight is granted. There's no tomorrow when all is new. Now is forever. Thank you.
warmer than a summer night. The clouds were like an alabaster palace rising to a snowy height. Each star its own aurora borealis. Suddenly you held me tight. I could see the midnight sun. I can't explain the silver rain that found me. Oh, was that a moonlit veil? The music of the universe around me. Oh, was that a nightingale? And then your arms miraculously found me. Suddenly the sky turned pale. I could see the midnight sun. Was ever such a night? It's a thrill I still don't quite believe. But after you were gone, there was still the stardust on my sleeve. The flame of it may dwindle to an ember, and the stars forget to shine. And we may see the meadow in December, icy white and crystalline. But oh, my darling, always I'll remember when your lips were close to mine. And I saw the midnight sun. Midnight sun, see a midnight sun above.
I go out walking,
Well, we're going to have to get on out of here. This has been Gremlin Time. An exciting day today with the sun going out and everything. Oh, boy. And, yeah, you know, we didn't see much here, but, you know, in the through the leaves, the light on the ground all turned into little crescents, and there were, like, waves and stuff in the air. It was amazing today. Well, that was, of course, Patsy Cline with a live version of Walking After Midnight. June Christie, Midnight Sun. Should we say any more? Even Joe was swooning here. I don't know if he can recover in time for his own show. So stay tuned. As Fortunato will be back again next month with another bedtime radio show for grown-ups, the show that grown-ups listen to in bed. That's right. And so stay tuned for the Tiki Cha-Cha Club right here on Community Radio, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Portland. The Tiki Cha-Cha Club.